Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. For me, scaling and becoming a business is not about doubling what you're already doing. It's not about going from a one doctor general practice to a two doctor general practice. It's not really just doubling. Like, I have four chairs, I need eight chairs, and it's really not that at all. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. Hey, welcome back to this week's episode of Dentistry Made Simple. I'm your host, T-Bone, and believe it or not, we are rejoined by, it's a new trial period for our co-host, Meredith. I do think I'm stuck with her.
I don't think you have any other options.
Pretty much.
It's like when that one time you guys said, we didn't have anyone else. Yeah, so that's why I'm here.
The face for radio, Meredith. So listen, the last few episodes we've been talking about dental business made simple, our four-part framework. We started off with understanding that we need to accelerate. Accelerating our practice is really about slowing down so that we can speed up. And then once we kind of get a great case acceptance process in place and some of the other things that we talked about, really then it's time to focus on our clinical revenue engine. Because at the end of the day, as a dental practice, the real mechanism for growth is expanding our clinical services. This week we're going to talk about scale, which is becoming a business, and we'll dive into that a little bit more. And then next week we'll talk about optimizing, and that's going from good to great. So before we kind of get into this week's episode, let me kind of reintroduce everybody to Meredith. Hey, Meredith, how you doing?
Hello. I've only been gone a couple weeks, and I've been traveling.
But we're relaunching the podcast, okay. Right? So just in case people suddenly forgot about you.
Okay, right? Thank you.
So for those of you that are new to the podcast, or those of you that have totally forgotten about Meredith like I have, Meredith Cooper-Jones, she started off as Meredith Cooper with me, but now she's just Meredith Cooper-Jones. She's been with me, 6 years now?
Seven and a half years.
She started off as an intern in the office, mm-hmm. And then she became a lowly basic dental assistant, mm-hmm. and then we needed to let somebody go at the front, or we got let go by somebody at the front, and I convinced Meredith to go work in the front. I told her it would be good for her.
He told me when he became a dentist, he was answering his own phone, so it would be good for my career, which I will argue now, it was very good for my career. However, I think my response to you was, I don't want to file papers.
Yeah, whatever it is.
He said, good news, we're a paperless office.
Although we buy a lot of paper. And then after that, you helped reinvigorate and reestablish clear aligner therapy, orthodontics, yes, in our practice. And then after that, when Lori moved to Atlanta and to help her daughter out, which she's doing phenomenal, mm-hmm. by the way, Meredith, I invited Meredith to run 3D Dentists.
Once again, that was all you had.
No, I had other choices. But and the reason I bring all of this up is as Meredith really gets to bring, the whole point of having her on the podcast, besides that she has a face for radio,
yeah.
which I'm joking, by the way, to everybody, is because she can give perspective from multiple fronts. Mm-hmm. Perspective as a team member. What does it take to keep somebody around for 7.5 years who has a desire to continue to grow? Because, you know, it's easy-ish to keep people around that don't have any desire to grow. But how do you help create an environment where people that want to grow can stay? She can give us a perspective of having worked in the front, the back, and yeah. having been a team champion. And then now she can give us perspective of, you know, the dentist that we're working with at 3D Dentists and kind of some of the challenges they go through and what works and doesn't work, where they struggle, don't struggle, kind of those things. So that's kind of really where Meredith comes in at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we get started today and into our episode, which is a great episode, by the way, I have a review.
Well, you don't know it's great. We're recording it as we do it.
But I know the topic.
Okay.
I know. Right, just, I know. I have to know what's maybe going on.
I was just wondering if you had already listened to it.
One day you're going to just completely throw me off, and you're not going to talk about what we plan to talk about, which yeah. has happened before.
Yeah.
So this review actually gives us a little bit of insight of some things we should talk about as well on another episode.
Yeah.
It says, great podcast. Would love to hear T-Bone cover verbiage, go-to facts, and analogies he uses when providing treatment options, what assistants in hygiene set up and present before exams in detail, and how treatment plans are presented with financials.
So is that really a review?
It's 5 stars, okay? So I'm going to say yes if it gives us 5 stars, but I think we could do a whole podcast.
But the reviewer is really great podcast.
Yes, yes.
And then everything after that was what
and
we're not covering.
Can you do this for me?
What we're not covering but, in the podcast.
In the meantime, we do have the 3D Business Bootcamp, and we just had our first one this year in January. It went great. The feedback was phenomenal. It's really a great way to bring your team members, invest in them, and give them the motivation to get back and kind of take control and well, really feel comfortable.
Yeah, and part of it also, Meredith, for me is that one of the challenges that many of you face is that you listen to the podcast, you have these ideas, and right. you want to implement them, but then getting your team members to understand it and go with it yeah. is a little bit harder. And quite frankly, they just need to hear the information.
Right. And well, one of the things I hear from the doctors that come through our courses is, well, I don't have team members like T-Bone. And like you just mentioned me, I started in college.
Yeah.
I had no dental experience, no real job experience. Megan, right out of hygiene school. Liz, right out of assisting school. So you took the time to grow these team members and train and coach these team members. And that's what it takes. And I think this 3D Business Bootcamp is a great first step in that direction to grow these team members to be yeah. what you want.
And then for those of you that say, hey, I just want all in, you know, there is the mastermind.
Right.
So, you know, that to me is another way to get one-on-one time and really kind of grow in and connect with your practice. But listen, enough about 3D Dentists. You know, they do pay the bills. but let's kind of get going to the scale phase of our dental business made simple framework. Let's kind of keep moving along there, Meredith.
Well, yeah, let's get started. So the first thing on the scale is becoming a business. So talk to us about the difference in owning a business and owning a dental practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a direct distinction. Now, certainly owning a practice, you own a business.
Right.
Okay. You know,
you don't have a choice. unfortunately.
You own a business.
But what makes a difference of?
Yeah. But there is a difference between owning a practice and owning a business, or at least I want people to understand there is the difference. Okay. You know, really, if I had to simplify this, which I'm not great at using less words, I like to talk. Although with patients, I use hardly any words.
Yeah.
When you own a practice, basically you own a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that job or that practice is directly dependent on you. So if you're sick, if something happens to you, if you take time off, everything shuts down.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, maybe there's some background work being done, but basically everything shuts down. Now, to me, when you own a business, okay? That means that things still run without you there. Now, that could be because in your state, for example, hygiene's allowed to work without you there. For example, that could be that you have multiple doctors there, any number of things, or even that you don't have doctors, but you bring somebody in every single time that you're out, so things continue to work. And to me, that's when you really start owning a business or become a business, is when you're able to not be there and continue to make money. And you know, and we could take it as far as saying that you never work there, that you literally stop being a dentist and you just own the practice, or you just own the business essentially, and you kind of run it, visionary that thing, and you actually never work chairside. So it can be taken in to many different levels, but really fundamentally, becoming a business, scale, becoming a business is really about going from being the solo provider practice, where things shut down when you're not there or everything is dependent on you, and becoming a true business where things can continue to work without you there, and that you know, not everything is dependent on you as a business. And for me, this kind of really started in 2012, is you know, and it kind of started right around the time, right before we started 3D Dentist. And it kind of, it's amazingly how it coincides.
Well, it allowed you, it gave you the time to be able to do this.
Yeah, well, you know, I had the dream that I wanted to do it, right? Yeah. But then when you're working 4 days a week and it's nonstop and all of those things, you're like, how do I ever have the time for this? And that's really where kind of this scale came into.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to make one comment with people. For some people, scale may mean multiple locations, multiple offices. Mm. And that's not necessarily my forte. That's not how I look at this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a great economic model of scaling with multiple locations. You know, my dad did that in the motel business. I have not done that in the dental business. I've kind of looked at scale more along the lines of scaling my single location before I would consider scaling to multiple locations. So I do want to kind of make that one caveat that I'm not an expert on scaling to multiple locations.
And for people who say they're already maxed out with their building, mm-hmm. there's ways to do that with hours and days and adding time.
Yeah, like so that. You know, to a certain degree, we can get facility bound. You know, look, if you're a four operatory practice,
but only working Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4.
Right. But even then, you know, when you become a four operatory practice, you're going to hit a wall.
Oh, for sure.
Much, much faster than somebody that's six operatories, you know, seven operatories. Really, when you start getting into the six plus operatory market or mark, then you really have to get to the, in my opinion, $4 or $5 million mark before facility becomes an issue.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that.
So to go from a business to practice, mm-hmm. It ideally sounds like that it requires an associate or an additional dentist. We've had a lot of doctors come through 3D Dentists and they either have a bad taste in their mouth about an associate, or they just don't know how they can justify. They say they don't have the room. They don't want another doctor. It's just them and their team. They're super close. They think bringing it in will hurt their culture. Mm-hmm. So can you give us your take on how an associate fits into the practice?
Yeah, and I think this has certainly been an evolving perspective.
Your answer today will not be the same answer you would have given two years ago.
Yeah, I don't. My experience today would not be the same experience that I had 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I think my fundamental philosophy and purpose behind it hasn't changed. And I think that's a good place to start on talking about associates. Again, for me, scaling and becoming a business is not about doubling what you're already doing. It's not about going from a one doctor general practice to a two doctor general practice. It's not really just doubling. Like, I have four chairs, I need eight chairs because each doctor runs two operatories, two hygiene, and then to kind of make that model work at a scales phase, I need to do double that. And it's really not that at all. And that's why there's a focus on the clinical revenue engine, which we talked about last episode, before we talk about the scale phase, okay? Because in my view, the way I view associates or additional dentists, that could be a partner even, is that somebody has to take over doing the general dentistry, okay? Or give a relief in doing the general dentistry so that the senior or owner dentist can now focus more energy and time on the clinical skills that they've developed. You know, it's amazing to me, Meredith. I would say that probably 50% or more of the dentists that come through 3D Dentists for our clinical training, most of them have very busy practices.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
that's why they, when they get back, they have a hard time.
Yes. That's really what happens, right? And that's why I make a concerted effort to talk about the purpose of scale when we have busy dentists in there, because then they go back to their offices and they kind of implement it, but they don't implement it at the level, the potential, right? Yeah. And really what's holding them back is they're busy, right? And that kind of goes back to busyness is the enemy. And that's where they need to bring in an additional dentist. Right. Now, so if we set up the concept that bringing in an additional dentist isn't about doubling what you do, okay? Really what it means is in a sense, you're redoing a semi-startup within your practice.
Right.
You know, and in other words, so for the example is my implant business didn't take off to the level it is now. We were doing fine. We're doing 40, 50 implants a year, you know, 30 to 50 implants a year from 2008 to 2012. But it didn't hit the 200, 250 mark until I got another dentist in there.
Right.
Because then it freed up my schedule to do that. Now, if I had brought another dentist in and continued to say, hey, these are my patients, and you build your own patients.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
And a lot of people do that. They don't have practice patients. They say, well, these are my patients. I have to see my patients. And it almost holds them back a little bit.
Not almost. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Because they're unwilling to give up some of the easier things because of the people who would leave you if you dropped their insurance.
Right. And not only that, and then those same dentists that say, these are my patients, then get irritated when they can't go on vacation or take more time off because they got to see their patients.
Or
right?
when someone who's not their patient wants an implant.
Right.
You know, and now your associate or partner who's not doing as many implants or it's really not that into implants that but can do them is getting more because they're not your patient.
Right. So, you know, so that's really the overarching fundamental philosophy as the associate of bringing on associates is that it's my job to feed my associate. Now, that doesn't mean we feed them junky work.
Yeah.
Okay. And that doesn't mean we feed them all the fillings that really need to be crowns. Because, you know, if we go back to accelerate, slowing down to speed up, when we give our patients the chance to say yes to the best, we don't 99% of the time do fillings on teeth that need crowns.
Right.
Like there's a line in the sand. This tooth needs a filling that needs a crown. You know, obviously there's some gray area there, right? But it's not like suddenly, oh, the patient says, no, they don't want a crown, associate.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that at all.
There's no other option.
Yeah. This is what the tooth needs, right? So it's, you know, we're not giving our associates all the crappy work.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, I may think doing single crowns is crappy.
Right. But they're thrilled.
But they should be thrilled, right? And frankly speaking, as now to turn the tail on the associate going into a practice that's followed the 3D dentist philosophy needs to understand their aspect or their perspective in the process. They're there to really do the bread and butter general dentistry for a period of time. And then they themselves should go through this same process of improving their clinical revenue engine and then finding another dentist to take over their part of the general practice so they can move on to this. And hopefully by that time, which is kind of where I'm at, I'm starting to give away my single tooth implants now because I want to have a more focus on doing full arch implant cases. So that's kind of where the associate fits in there. So the associate, and part of this also means that the associate has to buy into the philosophy or the vision or the leadership and the culture of the practice. And for example, we had one of our masterminders come on our Slack group the other day and she was talking about how her associate diagnosed a partial.
After she said no more partials.
And I said, look, number one, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt she's trying to do it purposefully.
Right.
But, you know, they have to buy into this philosophy that this is what we do in our practice. That's why it has to be a practice philosophy, not an individual dentist philosophy. And so that's kind of where we stand on how associates fit into the model. So, again, to kind of wrap that up, okay? If you're at a stage where you're busy, you want to do more specialty type services, you really need to be bringing in an associate, okay? Now, if you want this to be successful, you have got to feed your associate the dentistry that you're trying to take off your plate. It can't be that the associate is doing a startup within your practice. In fact, you should be doing the specialty startup within your practice and feeding the associate along the way, because that will make the associate happy because they will have production and revenue and want to stick around. And two, it should be freeing up time for you to do more of the dentistry that you want to do.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. But so far we've talked about becoming a business. Mm-hmm. We've talked about replacing yourself with the associate. So in the last episode, you talked about the clinical revenue engine. And so within that, we're in scale. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about how the concept of team champions fit into this.
Yeah, so team champions are important to me. And I didn't quite understand this probably until 4 or 5 years ago is really when it kind of hit me.
Until I begged you to be one.
Well, I think Liz was already kind of doing it at that point.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. And I was like, can I do that? You're like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, please. You're like, no.
No, there's selfish reasons for that, Meredith. But team champions. So, you know, in not just today's environment, but even all environments, you know, team members want to be somewhere where they want to grow, that they see opportunity to grow. And you want to attract people that are like that,
right.
You know. So if you have a practice that's very stagnant and not much has changed, you're probably going to be surrounded by stagnant people. And that may be good based on what season of life you're in. But for most of you that listen to this podcast, that come to our training programs, that want more for yourself, you need more good people around you. And so you have to have a success path or a growth path for these people. And for me, one of the most important things we did was kind of introducing the concept of team champions. And really, they're like project managers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that's really good. A lot of times people go, well, there's no way I can see them all. I'm like, you don't have to. You just need to be in charge of them. Yeah. You need to be managing them all. Yeah.
And you know, what's amazing to me is that most of us have, quote unquote, champions or project managers within the front office of our practice. Like you have that person that's in charge of insurance.
Right.
You have that person that's in charge of the hygiene schedule.
Yeah.
You have that person that's in charge of the accounting and paying the bills or whatever it may be. So we have all these project managers around us. But as soon as we get into the clinical area, there's one project manager. It's the dentist.
Yeah.
Right.
And which is the worst one to have in charge of something like that.
Yeah.
The parts and pieces of implants. Just and all cases of it. And
all of it. Right. The dentist can't. They're holding themselves back.
Right.
So we need to develop some clinical team champions. Mm-hmm. Okay. And every revenue engine item we have that we talked about, ortho, sleep, implants, sedation, XYZ, cosmetic dentistry, there should be a team member that owns that part of the business. In other words, owns the opportunity, the growth, the processes in place. So that way we can grow that part of the business. Now, in smaller offices, it may be a combination of one team member that kind of owns
a couple of things,
a couple of different things.
Well, when I worked in the office and I was the ortho champion, at the time we, for about a year period, we didn't have a general dentist treatment coordinator.
Right.
So I was able to do a lot of that in between for hygiene to help with that, to step in for that. So it wasn't, you know, I have one job. This is my one job. This is all I do. But that was my focus, and that's what I wanted to grow. But when I was available, I was able to do other things.
Absolutely, and that's important, right? So we need to develop team champions for each vertical of our clinical revenue engine.
Right.
And that person needs to own that process. And part of that process is what kind of patients are we attracting? Mm-hmm. What
marketing.
Do we have to do? External marketing to the community. Maybe it's social media. Remember when you were in charge of doing the aligner social media posts and running some of the ads? Not that we knew how to do the ads.
Apparently,
we just put them out.
Apparently, I'm still on there.
But we just had to put the ads out, right?
Yeah.
We had to try it, right? And then remember we tried the community event that sounded like a great idea.
Yeah.
Turned out not to be so great of an idea.
The wedding. Thing
the wedding where we
Regenesis.
Where we partnered with some other businesses in the area. Yeah, and ultimately the team champion, through the vision of the dentist in many of those cases, kind of executes those things. They're the project manager.
Yeah.
So I think it's super important. My experience has been when you develop clinical team champions, that part of the business goes up because somebody is paying attention to it.
Right.
And it kind of comes back to the slow down to speed up. You know, they know the leadership and culture of sleep apnea, for example.
Yeah.
You know, they know the score for sleep apnea. Uh-huh. They know the case acceptance process for sleep apnea. And then they look at it and we're looking at it and say, you know, I think if we tweak this, this might happen. And then we kind of experiment with it. So you need that because at the end of the day, the dentist can only do so much, right?
Yeah.
If you're twirling on teeth, you know, if you're cutting teeth and you're trying to run team members and run the practice and do all of this, typically what ends up suffering in that is the growth of specialty services within a busy general practice.
And I think with sleep, ortho, implants, all of those things, it's so often that we just say, okay, we'll follow up with you.
Yeah.
No one follows up. 6 months later, they go, well, I talked about Invisalign or clear aligners last time. I'd like to do it. Okay, well, you know, 6 months later, and now it's been 2 years.
Yep. And then they walk in with buttons from somebody else.
Yeah, they go to the orthodontist. Yeah.
Or another office that's doing social media ads for Invisalign, or that patient leaves and goes back to that office and becomes
afterwards.
A patient there, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important.
Because when we were doing it and focused on it, that happened to us.
Yeah.
We had people coming.
Yeah, they would come. And they have general dentists that I know.
Right.
Right?
And
I'm like, they have a good
practice.
They
do them. And they do ortho.
Yeah.
So, but they didn't know.
Yeah. So it's important to develop team champions, which are like project managers. Most of us have them in the front office. We need to extend that concept into the clinical arena of our practice.
So for scale, on this week's episode, we've talked about becoming a business.
Yep.
Replacing yourself, creating and having team champions. So if you're asking the owner or senior doctor to start focusing on more specialty type procedures, we would say that would be becoming the expert or in your area, how would you expect them to implement this?
Yeah, you know, this is a concept that this is how I've built my entire career, is essentially branding yourself, right? Mm-hmm. For many of you, you've heard about my podcast or you like what I talk about because you see me on social media, and it's with purpose what I put out on social media, right? Mm-hmm. You know, becoming the expert, okay? So if I'm saying to you or you're saying to yourself that you need to start slowly giving the process of doing less general dentistry, but not giving, I don't want to get rid of it out of the practice. That's why, you know, we want to bring the associate in. Okay. Then how are you going to attract more patients for dental? We'll use dental implants in our example here. So I would say that you have to become the expert.
Right.
Okay. And most dentists say, well, I'm a diplomate of whatever it is.
Right.
And I'm like, sure, that's an expert within the dental community.
Right.
But really you have to become an expert within your patient community. Mm-hmm. And really becoming an expert in the patient community doesn't take years. It doesn't take decades.
It doesn't take a lot of studying either.
No.
It just takes being there and answering very simple questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you got to fake it till you make it, right? And really, as much as that bothers me personally,
you kind of have to dumb yourself down.
Because
if you talk too clinical,
the
patients don't understand and kind of turn them off.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to get out there and let people know what you do, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good enough. Like, for example, when people ask me what I do, if I say I'm a dentist, they say, I can see it in their face. Oh, you're just a dentist. You're not just
a dentist.
Not just a dentist. And that's all, you're not that good. But it's like they assume you're a dentist, mm-hmm. right? And that, oh, you do fillings and cleaning. I mean, you know how many people have asked me?
Can you do my cleaning?
I'm like, no, dentists don't do cleanings. They shouldn't do cleanings. And really, really it becomes like, how would you answer the question if somebody asked you, what do you do for a living? And I wouldn't answer the question that I'm a general dentist. I would answer the question that I'm a dentist that focuses on doing implant dentistry, you know? And so that means my personal brand, in other words, how people view who I am as an individual practitioner should be all about or 80% about what you want to do more of, okay? So right now, if you follow my dental practice page, I'm not even sure we're actually doing anything with it, but, you know, most of my personal page, my T-Bone Speaks page, should be a lot of stuff about dental implants. And that's on purpose because on a couple of fronts for me, number one, as a dental practitioner, it's what I do the most. So that's what I want people to know I'm doing. And then as an educational outfit, that's kind of where my focus is. My focus is on the dental business, which you should see lots of social media about me talking about running your practice and then me doing dental implants mm-hmm. because that's a major area of focus for 3D dentists is that we provide live patient education in dental implants. So that's kind of what you want to be known for. And that's becoming a recognized expert is understanding you have a personal brand. Now, your personal brand is not, in my opinion, about your lifestyle. It's not about first class seats, it's not about cars, it's not about all those things. It's really just about answering the public's common questions. A good website that you can go to is answerthepublic.com. If you type in dental implants in there, it'll show you the most common things that people are searching for on the Google around dental implants. And then basically all you need to do from that is write all those questions down, and then create videos and blogs that answer those questions. So in other words, if you the question is how much does an implant cost? Then create a video that walks through how much an implant costs. Why does an implant cost this? What are the components of an implant? What are the parts of an implant? What makes one implant cost more than the other part plant? And then, maybe another question is why do you want a name brand implant? You know, and maybe you believe in name brand implants, or maybe you don't believe in name brand implants, and you say why you don't need to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a name brand implant, and you can walk through how they're all made of the same materials, XYZ, blah blah blah. Or if you're on my end of things, where I do believe in name brand implants, I can walk through why we believe in that and what's led me to believe in that from my experience. And really, if you commit to doing one of these per week, after 6 months, after a year, you will start to become recognized as an expert within your community for these things. Mm-hmm. So the process I would encourage everyone to implement is to go to answerthepublic.com, type in the dental service you want to do more of. It's going to pop up with a graph that shows you the most common search topics. Write 20 of those down and then make a video each week and then spend $10 each week promoting that video to a 7-mile radius around your practice. And slowly but surely, you will become known as a practitioner who provides that service within your practice. And I believe it should be 80% of what you do. You know, the other 20% should be a little bit about who you are as a human being. You know, maybe that's where the dancing TikTok crap can fit mm-hmm. in. But that maybe, you know, I post
that's
a lot.
Where people scroll. It doesn't have to be dancing. Yeah. You could be sharing
yeah.
knowledge there on yeah, Reels and TikTok.
Absolutely.
Too.
But when I say TikToks, I think of it as the
I know
the
what
dancing
you think
stuff,
of, but
right?
it's not always.
But, or, you know, I share a lot about my family because I also want to be known as a person that cares about its family yeah. And all of that stuff. So, you know, those things that are important, what you want people to associate yeah. you as. You know?
We were talking about that this weekend. I was in a course in Nashville, and a dentist said, you know, I wish I could just pay my 4- and 6-year-olds to just be around the office all the time and run into all my consults and go, Daddy, because then yeah. every patient's like, oh, my gosh, yes, anything. Yeah. That's so sweet, you know.
You know, and there is that part of it, yeah. right? People, you know, people buy... When you think
from
of
people,
person,
and I said yeah. that. I said it makes you a human. It makes you yeah. relatable. They're also a parent, yeah. and they have children. And they also see they're buying from someone who's still running a family business.
Yeah.
It's not some corporate thing where you're in a jacket, straight coat, and you know, walk in and walk out.
And there's nothing, if that's your personality, is to be in a tie,
yeah.
to be in all those things, and to be in the white coat, just know you're going to attract people
corporate.
Like that.
There's a ton of corporate people out there.
Yeah, you're going to attract people right. like that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, I just believe your personal brand is who you, what you stand for, and let it just double down on it,
yeah.
you know? And so really becoming the recognized expert, answering the public questions, doing videos and blogs around it. And you say, oh, I don't want to write blogs. No problem. Just record the video. Have it transcribed. The transcription becomes the blog. Add a couple of photos to it. And, you know, if people say I don't have the time for it, I go, then clearly you don't want it enough.
Well, you can also pay someone to do
yeah,
that.
But
the blog part.
You can't pay somebody to do something you don't know how to
no,
do.
No, right,
right,
yeah.
Or to put it out in your voice. You've got
the
to
video,
know.
The video, right.
You got to know what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll say if you don't have the time for it, then you are, busyness is really your enemy
yeah.
in this case. And if you say, hey, I want to do more implants, but you don't have time to do the things I'm telling you to do, then, you know, then there's something not right, you know,
yeah.
and it's not important enough to you. So
yeah.
so that's kind of to give you guys an idea of where we are with scale becoming a business. It's about understanding the difference between a practice and a business, understanding the role and how we need additional dentists to help grow our practice so we can focus on the clinical revenue engine. Developing team champions or project managers within the clinical realm so that they can run that part of it for you between the lab work and the follow-up with patients, you know, like you're doing all of that stuff. And then, you know, along the same time, you also have to be becoming the expert. You have to be focused on your personal brand and what people know you as and for within your community. So that's kind of the dental business made simple, the focus on scale of becoming a business. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. In next week's episode, we're going to kind of dive into optimize, going from good to great. So again, thank you for being part of our relaunch and our rebrand of the podcast, Dentistry Made Simple. You know, dentistry does not have to be overly complicated. Dentistry does not need to be chaotic and overwhelming and all of these things. It can be much simpler. You don't have to get caught up in doing all these different things. It's really about supporting the lifestyle of what you want dentistry to be. You know, I try to say it all the time. Let's create the practice that you dreamed you'd have in dental school and stop letting everybody else take control and make it what they want. It's your practice. Make it what you want it to be. And even if you're listening as a dental associate, everything I'm talking to you about applies to you as well. It's not just about being a practice owner. As an associate, your income is directly related to what you do. So if you don't increase your clinical revenue, if you don't establish yourself as a brand, because if you go to another office, those patients and that reputation will follow you. So it's not just for practice owners, it's also for associates as well. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next week.